Father, we glorify thy name. We worship you, Lord. Thank you for the time of praising the name of the Lord. We know angels are all around us. The Bible tells us so. We have them who walk by faith, never by sight. If God says so, that is what it is. We are called to the company, innumerable company of angels. The Bible tells us. We are thanking you, Lord. There are even many of them ministering spirits. Oh God, they were dispatched for us, oh God, you know, to guide us in all our steps. So we thank you tonight. Read your word tonight, Lord. Father, bless the reading of it, Father. Let it be mixed with faith in our hearts, Lord. That it may be profitable unto us in all the days to come. Father, we ask in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So the subject of faith is very, very important. And so much so that even the Bible devoted a whole chapter of the Bible to it. So, and in the body of Christ, it's not unusual for us to talk about faith as often as we can. So the Bible defines it in Hebrews 11, the substance of the things hoped for, the evidence of things not to be said and so for that, you know. But tonight, true faith is believing God. See, in addition to what God has said in Hebrews 11, so true faith is believing God. In Romans chapter 4, we read, it says there, for what says the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. See? So in this verse, we see something in there. Romans 4:3, that the essence of the gospel of God, we see it in that verse, that one verse right there, and of God's grace, to which Apostle Paul said that he was separated, and to which all believers should be separated, the gospel of God. Because in Romans chapter 1 verse 1, he said, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. In that Romans 4:3, so we see the essence of the grace of the gospel of God right there that is talked about in Romans 1 as I just read now 1:1 and so forth. So the gospel of God is God's good news, and faith cometh by hearing it. Abraham's faith, or where his feet were planted on God's ground. Abraham's feet were planted in God's ground. His eyes were fixed on God himself. He had no shadow of doubt as to his possessing all that God promised him in due time. See? No doubt, nothing was ever just fixed his eyes upon God and so on good ground, God's own ground. He had no shadow of doubt as to his possessing all that God promised him in due time. He did not hope for it, He did not doubt, Or go on asking for what God has said that he has given him. He just took God for his word, So true faith is believing God, really. He did not feel it, because for feeling, what is feeling? Feeling is not a ground for true faith, really. Faith that is based on feeling is not divine faith. Not at all, So faith based upon your feeling. If somebody was looking for healing, for example, if you are waiting until you feel good, that's not divine faith, So anyway, faith must have respect to a promise, not to a feeling. It must have respect to a promise. True faith rests on the testimony of God's word. The word of God is a true ground for faith. The authority for faith, God's word is the only basis on which faith can rest, is the word of God. No wonder in Romans 10:17, told us how faith comes. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And in the beginning, Satan brought doubt. He brought about the fail or the fall of man by casting doubt on the word of God. Just one doubt of God will bring the race to the whole mess that we see till this day for 6,000 years and so on. Because doubting just one word of God, So, and you know what he said in Genesis 3:1? Yea, as God said, casting doubt on the word of God. You know, but Abraham's believing God constitutes a divine faith. The way he believed God constitutes a divine faith. It was not a question of feeling to him. No. Had Abraham been influenced by his feeling or things like that, he would have been a doubter, and instead of being a believer, or instead of being the father of all them that believe, according to Romans 4:11, if he was trying to be dependent upon feeling and things like that, you don't know. So, for what had he in himself to be this faith on? What is it? You know, to base it on his body. What happened to his body is already dead already anyway. So I can build upon what he's feeling, his body is dead. So, and, you know, and look at the great promise God gave unto him, you know, to become the father of many nations. How can he base upon a body that is dead already? And even his own wife's body, you know, was dead. So how can he base on any of those things? Genesis 17:4 says this. And the Lord promised him this thing. As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, O Abraham, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name anymore be called Abraham, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. How can you at 75, when all medical evidence says that you cannot have children anymore, even your wife and so forth, that they start with her after the manner of women? How can he base his faith on that kind of thing like that? No, it has to be on the word of God. But he considered not his own body now dead. See that? When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Romans 4:19 says so. So what then did Abraham know? What did he consider? Did he consider his own body or even his wife's body? What is he considering? He considered the word of the living God. And on that he rested. That's in Romans 4:20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So, like I said before, faith must have a respect to a promise. See? So he had the promise of God. That's where he based his faith on. And being fully persuaded in verse 21 that what he had promised, yeah, faith must have a respect to a promise, right? What he had to find a promise of God for what you are believing God for, right? For it to be true faith, you know? And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And that's why in Hebrews 11:11, even Sarah herself, through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Why? Because he judged him faithful who had promised. Yeah, faith must have, true faith must have a respect to a promise. Has to be a promise, right? Even initially, and look at the grace of God. When that God had touched him in his theophany and so forth, and the car this time next year or something like that, you know. And she laughed within the tent while God was backing in laugh. She said, "Why did you lie?" He even lied to God. He didn't laugh, you know. "Yeah, I thought you laughed. You laughed." Anyway, you see, God didn't even mention that one is all said and done. The mercies of God. Anyway, she believed God eventually. The Bible says, because of the promise of God. Just in case one might be saying, well, that's Abraham, that's Sarah, and so forth. What about my situation today? Whatever situation I may find myself or yourself and so on. Well, God's word gives us the answer in the 23rd verse. Now, it was not written for his sake only, you know, alone, that it was imputed unto him. Verse 24 says, but for us also, to whom it shall be, imputed, if we do what? If we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. True faith is believing God, isn't it? So that's another way of looking at faith, true faith. Believing the word of God. Okay? So we can't, we can't say it enough. Anyway, we notice not if we feel it, no. Not what we realize it, no. Not what or when we experience it, no. or anything in ourselves, no. But if we believe, that is now, true faith is believing the word of God, believing God, you see, that raised our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. This gives us solid comfort and rich consolation. We are assured not only of the self-same grant and authority that Abraham had to rest upon, but even with much more light than Abraham had in our day. For Abraham was called to believe God's word as to what God promised, something yet to be done in the future, when God promised him. But in Christ Jesus, what about us? We are privileged to be called to believe in the fact which God has already accomplished, the past tense, you know. We are called to look back at something that has been done. Even an accomplished redemption attested to by the word of God in many places of a risen and glorified Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So that's what we are called to, who is now sitting at the right hand of majesty on high. Now, the imputation of righteousness should not be narrowed down to just being saved from sin. Many Christians are still narrow-minded and say, oh yeah, he saved us from sin. Praise God, that is the beginning of claiming our redemption, really, you know. The salvation from our Lord Jesus Christ is all-inclusive. It is a total and full redemption from the cause of the law. The cause of the law is all cataloged in Deuteronomy 28, about 58 to 68 verses, and so on like that, you know. Christ redeemed us from all of those things, and so on. It's a total and full redemption. But God's people must, again, have faith to believe, through faith, believing all that is in the redemption. Galatians 3:13 tells us that one. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, curse is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. See? Faith, meaning believing God. Another way of looking at faith, believing the word of God. It is a redemption wrought by the Savior to the uttermost. Hebrews 7:25 tells us that, therefore he is able to also save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, since he ever be there to make intercession for them. One time I spoke about what he is to us of many, many things. He's our intercessor right there, that verse and so on. He's our advocate. He's a propitiation for our sins. Not for our sins only, but even for the sins of the whole world. What total and full redemption wrought by our Lord Jesus Christ for his children. There is no other foundation to true faith but the word of God. This grand principle I'm talking about, meaning there is no other foundation for true faith but the word of God, this grand principle is the divine antidote to all errors committed so far. Antidote to all evils. Antidote to all hostile influences of the present age or day, to all of which are masterminded by Satan himself. All these evil and so on, that you know. True faith in God's word is the antidote to them all. And Satan doing this at the end of the age, knowing very well that he had but a short time. Revelation 12:12 says so. I always say, I wish God's children will know that they won't have a shorter time, you know. The devil can do that, they have but a short time. The rapture takes place far, at least, maybe 3.5 years before the man of sin appears on the scene. So we know that. Anyway, today, there is a tremendous shaking going on around us in this age. And it will get worse, according to the scripture. It will grow worse. Many might people are being agitated today, and some of that, you know, people are disturbed today. Forces are bound everywhere, working against the race. Foundations are being loosened today. Institutions are torturing souls which find shelter in them, are being dislodged, and know not without a tongue. They don't know what's a tongue. Confusion everywhere. Confusion and judgment are written on all things ecclesiastical and political today. We see it according to biblical prophecy. Yes. I mean, you know, so we see it happening in our day. The man of sin walking underneath and will soon to be revealed. Talking about the shaking. The Bible prophesies for it. Haggai 2:6. For thus said the Lord of hosts. Yet once it's in a little time, a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth, and the sea and the dry land. Verse 7 says, and I will shake all nations, shaking right now, and the desire of all nations shall come, the Lord said. The New Testament pick it up in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verse 26. Whose, meaning the Lord, whose voice, the Lord's voice, then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, I will once more, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Talking of what is shaking right now, because the age is closing. Well, try to explain to us, when he says, yet once more, what does he mean? He tells you in the next verse, 27. And this word, meaning yet once, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. So we are at that time right now. Here the scriptures upon all this we are talking about the word today and so, here the word of God abound to comfort the children of God. Isaiah 41 says, comfort ye my people, yet God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2:2-4, I will read that also. Comforting God's people at the end of time. That he be not soon shaken in mind. See? As he's shaking going around all over the world, the ecclesiastical and the political, right? Everything. The sea and the waves roaring. You know? Comforting my people. That he be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled. He says, and of course, verse 3 says, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, which we have seen. It's happening every day. It's getting worse and worse, right? And that, man of sin, and that man will be revealed, the son of perdition. The Bible says, who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God, all that is worshipped, so that he, as God, seated in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So shaking of all kinds and so on, but God comforting his children in this hour we are living in right now. So in times like this, all that we have, need to do is simply a living faith in the living God. That's what we need. To the elect is this promise given in Haggai 2:7, which I read part of it before. He did all the shaking, part 2, Haggai 2:7b. I will fill this house with glory, said the Lord of hosts. That is the hope of the elect. And he goes to say in verse 9 of Haggai 2, the glory of this later house shall be greater than of the former, said the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, said the Lord of hosts. Comforting God's children. At this hour, even the Lord himself told us, when you see all these things, live for joy. Our redemption draweth nigh. Not to cast down our mind at home, but also lift up our head. Live for joy. So, our unfailing resource in this hour is to trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. Of whom the scripture says in 1 Peter 2:6, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him, you see that one believing on the Lord Jesus, this is the word of God, right? Shall not be confounded. Praise the Lord. That's a true faith right there, you know, true faith. To believe in God, the same thing Abraham did, you know. Who are the children of Abraham? They who are for the faith of Abraham. The Bible tells us in one place, God has laid the foundation And that foundation is none or nothing less than his only begotten Son, even our Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the Word of God. See? This foundation is sufficient to sustain all the counsel of God. You see? You know, all of it. To meet all the needs of his people. And indeed, all men who will believe. The spiritual need, the soul need, and the body need. Yes, they are all in the Lord Jesus Christ. So believing God is resting on the immovable rock of the Holy Scripture. That's true faith. See? Believing God is resting on the immovable rock of the Holy Scripture. And faith must have respect to a promise. I repeat that again. I said it earlier, you know, before. 2 Peter 1, 4 says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. That's why your faith should be sitting, great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And all this shaking and so forth, by these great and precious promises of God to us, that we have true faith, and we escape all of these things. And even the great escape is coming too. Bible says, worship therefore and pray always, isn't it? But I can't tell you what is to escape all these things. Come to pass and so forth, that, you know. So, true faith, believing God, like Abraham did and so on. So, by resting in his promises, we can prove the divine and saving virtue of that which has never failed anyone who trusted in them. I mean, he has never failed anybody who trusted the promises of God. See? Never did, never will, and never can. Anyone who will trust in the promises of God. That's true faith, right? We are told in 2 Corinthians 1:20, what I'm talking about now. For all the promises of God in him, meaning the Lord Jesus Christ, are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us, he said. So nobody, he said, you will not be confounded, right? You will not be ashamed, you know? All we have to do is just getting that true faith by trusting and believing all of his promises and so forth. So with all these things, what an unspeakable blessedness we have. Such a foundation in an age that you and I are living in. An age where death and decay are stamped upon all except the redeemed of the Lord. An age when all that seems most stable is liable to be swept away in a moment, whether it is economy, political, ecclesiastical, in a moment, be swept away. See? Now, an age where there is absolutely nothing on which the heart of the unbelieving man can lean and say, now I have found permanent repose. No such thing. Nothing like that in this whole world. Only one in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only place. What a mercy in such an age as this to have a living faith in the written, living word of the living God. See? That will carry you through any situation, any condition, you know? Yes. You know? Living faith in the written, living word of the living God. In the Lord Jesus alone, do we have permanent repose. We are wrapping up here this evening, just a short exhortation of our faith. Hebrews 4:3. We which have believed, see that word believe, do enter into rest. True faith is believing God, right? So, Hebrews 4:3, I believe it is. We which have believed, do enter into rest. That will run etter scatter. Even the psalmist writing in Psalm 37, verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. The Almighty God said in that prophecy and so that David gave and so on. John 14:1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. That's true faith, right? See? True faith is believing God. Ye believe in God. And believe also in me, because we are one and the same. He that has seen me has seen the Father, isn't it? I and the Father, we are one. Anyway, so Abraham believed God, right? So you believe in God. I believe also in me. Verse 27 says of John 14, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In Romans 15, the 13th verse. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. I call that believing word again. In believing. That ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. About the one but last scripture here. Isaiah 26 verse 3. Thou, meaning the Lord, will keep him whosoever will in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. All you have to do is trust it in the Lord forever, not just yesterday or last year and so on, forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. And I don't like this benediction in the Bible. I always like to read this verse in Hebrews 13, 20, just the last scripture here, the benediction, assuring and so on. Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Father, we thank you tonight. The value of faith. And you give us all the things we need to have the faith of God. Just believe in the God Almighty. Father, thank you. Unto every man, the death is a measure of faith. Help us to make it to grow. Like the people of Thessalonian Church, your faith will grow exceedingly. Faith that can move any kind of a mountain. The kind of faith that the Lord Jesus said will move any mountain. Even like a mustard seed can move a mountain. So therefore, Lord, let us never be lacking of that, Lord. Help us to let our faith grow. Bible rebuke them, O ye of little faith in the Bible and so forth. You know. So we thank you tonight, Lord, just reminding ourselves about these things, Lord, O Father. The Word of God is the only place that we can anchor where true faith anchors. Never fail any man. A whole chapter, listen. They say the lions in the den, their faith overcome them. They quench the violence of fire. See? Faith carry them through in the living God. Hear, O King. But whether you like it, we will not serve your God. We've been taught from our youth that thou shalt not worship any idol, any image of anything that is in heaven or on earth. You should worship God alone. Their faith quench the violence of fire. Saw the mouth of the lion and so forth. See? So Lord God, this thing we are reading for example and our admonition, Lord, that even in these last days, we should do even greater exploits. That's what the Bible promised for our day. So tonight we go forth, Lord, with this in our heart tonight, Lord. Going here again, knowing that we are more than conquerors through you that loved us, all by the true faith of believing our Lord Jesus Christ, all that he has said. All the promise of God in him we have read tonight, and they are yea and they are amen, to the glory of God, our Savior.
Amen.
We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.